Hi there, Greg Van Beek. This is Nancy O'Dell, and I wanted to say congratulations on 500 episodes of Nostalgia Radio Time. That is awesome. And you're also celebrating 10 years. I mean, that's quite the anniversary. Very impressive, Greg. I love me some oldies but goodies.
Once I had a secret love. Ha, I'm Lori Morgan, and if you love pop standards as much as I do, you'll want to tune in each week to Nostalgia Radio Time, hosted by my friend Greg Van Beek.
Go, Joe, go!
Hi everyone, this is Katie Couric, and I want to welcome you to one of my favorite programs, Nostalgia Radio Time, hosted by my friend Greg Van Beek.
Thank you, Katie, and welcome to program number 602 of Nostalgia Radio Time. This week we're venturing into the 1960s with some great songs, some great hits, like this one from 1961, the signature song of Andy Williams. Here's Moon River. Mancini and Johnny Mercer's great song Moon River kicking things off this week. If you have any songs you'd like me to play or old-time radio shows you like featured, send your requests. Send them all to nostalgiaradiotime@yahoo.com. Love to hear your comments as well. And while you're online, be sure to check us out on our social media outlets on Facebook and Twitter. And if you happen to be looking for an antique radio, one that's fully restored and functional, now many with Bluetooth capability, check out my website at www.radioattic.com/Van Beek. That's all one word. V-A-N, B, two E's, and a K, and I've got some great fully restored sets available for you. Now, going back to 1960, here's Bobby Darin singing about those artificial flowers.
Alone in the world was poor little Anne, as sweet a young child as you'd find. Her parents had gone to their final reward, leaving their baby behind. Did you hear this poor little child was only 9 years of age when mother and dad went away. Still she bravely worked at the one thing she knew to earn her few pennies a day. She made artificial flowers, flowers for ladies of fashion to wear. She made artificial flowers, you know those artificial flowers, fashion from Annie's despair. With paper and shears, with some wire and wax, she made up each tulip and mum. As snowflakes drifted into her tenement room, her baby little fingers grew numb from making artificial flowers, those artificial flowers, flowers for ladies of high fashion to wear. She made artificial flowers, artificial flowers, made from Annie's despair. They found little Annie all covered with ice, still clutching her poor frozen shears. Amidst all the blossoms she had fashioned by hand and watered with all her young tears. In heavenly gardens and bowers, and instead of a halo, she'll wear around her head a garland of genuine flowers. No more artificial flowers, throw away those artificial flowers, flowers for ladies of society to wear. From Annie's, fashion from Annie's despair. Give her the real thing.
To cause me to cry, and just when I learned to adore you, you kissed one more dream goodbye and left me lonely again, just like you found me. Around me, just when I'm sure that my heart is secure and my teardrops are dry with a warm glow inside and this love of mine till the end of the line, that's always. This time and this love would last. You told me I'd never be lonely, and now you belong to the past, and I'm so lonely again, just like you found me. No arms around me, just when I'm sure that my heart is secure, and my teardrops are dry with a warm glow inside. And this love of mine till the end of the line, that's always the time that I'm lonely again.
The smooth voice of Eddie Arnold from 1967 with Lonely Again. Now a huge hit from 1962 for Jack Jones. Here's Lollipops and Roses right here on Nostalgia Radio Time.
Tell her you care. It's time you speak. Make it her birthday each day of the week. Bring her nice things. Sugar and spice things, roses and lollipops, and lollipops and roses. We try acting grown up, but fresh out of school. So carry her books. That's how it starts. 14 or 40, their kids in their hearts keep them handy. Flowers and candy, roses and lollipops, and lollipops and roses.
Time we had little taste of wasting time like love, but do I waste a little time alone with you. About time we two were living out a lovely dream come true. About you, about me, about love, yes. About time, about time we spent a little time, no one near to watch. While I say a little something in your ear about how I care, about how I want to make my feelings clear about you, about me, about love. We're in deep waters, darling, clear over my head. About time we either sink or swim. Let's swim, enough said. About time, we didn't have to always steal a kiss. About time, I had my arms around your waist like this. My whole life through, I wanna make you feel the way I do. About you, about me, about love. Thank you. water, darling, clear over my head. About time to either sink or swim. Let's swim. Enough said. About time. Yes, time. We didn't have to always steal a kiss. About time. Time. I had my arms around your waist like this my whole life through. I wanna make you feel the way I do about you, about me, about us. Oh, we. About your love and mine, but about time.
From his 1968 album Disney Songs the Satchmo Way, that was Louis Armstrong with "About Time." Now from 1961, here's Pat Boone singing about that moody river.
Stands beside the river where you were to meet me. On the ground your glove I found with a note addressed to me. It read, "Dear love, I've done you wrong, now I must set you free. No longer can I live with this hurt and this sin. I just couldn't tell you that guy was just a friend. Moody River, more deadly than the vainest knife. Moody River, your muddy water took my baby's life. I looked into the muddy waters, and what could I see? I saw a lonely, lonely face just looking back at me. Tears in his eyes and a prayer on his lips, and the glove of his lost love at his fingertips. Deadly than the vainest knife. Moody River, your muddy water took my baby's life.
My cherie amour, lovely as a summer day, my cherie amour, distant as the Milky Way. My cherie amour, pretty little one that I adore, you're the only girl my heart beats for. How I wish that you were mine. Thank you.
someday you'll see my face among the crowd. My cherry amore, I'll share your little distant cloud. Oh, cherry amore, pretty little
Tony Bennett from 1969 lifting a song from Stevie Wonder's repertoire, My Cherie Amore. It's Bing Crosby time, our Bing Sings feature for the week, and we're going back to the Bing Crosby Show from 1954, an unused song that was just released a few years ago for the first time. Here's Bing with Dream a Little Dream of Me.
Stars shining bright above, night breezes seem to whisper, I love you. Birds singing in the sycamore tree, dream a little dream of me. Say nighty night and kiss me. Just hold me tight and tell me you'll miss me. While I'm alone and blue as can be, dream a little dream of me. Stars fading, but I linger on, dear, still craving your kiss. I'm longing to linger till dawn, dear, just saying this. Sweet dreams till sunbeams find you, sweet dreams that leave all worries behind you. But in your dreams, whatever they be, dream a little dream of me. Sunbeams find you, sweet dreams that leave all worries behind you. But in your dreams, whatever they be, dream a little dream of
Time now for Old Time Radio Time. It's here in the show where we give a listen to a program from radio's golden age. This week we're going back to March 21st of 1952 and tuning into the adventures of Ozzy and Harriet.
We present the amusingly transcribed Adventures of Ozzy and Harriet, starring America's favorite young couple, Ozzy Nelson and Harriet Hilliard.
Things have been rather quiet this morning at the Nelsons. Nothing much unusual has happened. Harriet called the boys, and they got up as usual and came down to breakfast. Then she called Ozzy down for breakfast as usual. Then she called Ozzy again as usual. And then she called him again as usual. And then the boys went up and helped drag him out of bed. As usual. So you see, the whole family had breakfast, and things have been very quiet and very, very usual. As usual. And offhand, I'd say it was just about time for things to start happening. Well, there goes the phone. Now, that doesn't seem especially unusual, but then you never can tell.
Hello? Oh, hello, Mrs. Peabody.
I believe she's the president of the PTA.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, who is it, Harriet?
It's Mrs. Peabody. Oh, well, thank you, Mrs. Peabody. I'm very honored. That starts this afternoon, doesn't it?
What's up, Pop?
Shh. Just a minute, boys.
I'll be very happy to. Oh, not at all. And thank you so much for calling. Goodbye. Oh, this is awful.
Awful? You sound mighty pleased on the phone.
Sometimes women are a little hard to understand, Pop.
It's the big PTA meetings at the school auditorium all this week.
Well, what about it?
Well, one of the regular council members can't make it, and I've been chosen as alternate.
Well, I certainly don't think that's so awful.
I do, Mom. I hate going to school, too, boy.
Well, it's just that I'm totally unprepared.
That's the same feeling I get sometimes.
Never mind now, Ricky.
You should have been there yesterday, boy. Our history teacher asked us questions about stuff we never heard of before.
I guess that stopped you for a while.
Heck no. I gave them some answers they never heard of.
And you probably get a mark like you never seen before, too.
Well, I'm afraid I'm going to look like something you've never seen before.
What do you mean by that?
Well, in the first place, just look at my hair.
What's the matter with it? I think it looks fine.
Well, thank you, dear, but it looks just terrible, and I know it. And my good suit is at the cleaners, and so are my gloves. And I don't have a decent hat to wear. How do you think I'm going to look?
Not so hot, huh?
That's putting it mildly.
Oh, Harriet, don't be ridiculous.
I think you look fine right now.
You know darn well, Harriet, you look lovely no matter what you're wearing.
You're just saying that because I'd crown you if you didn't.
No, I'm not. I really mean it this time. That is, I mean it every time. I mean it this time especially.
Well, thank you, but I'd feel much better if I'd had a little time to get prepared. And another thing, I don't even know what subjects they're going to discuss with all those professional educators and teachers there.
I'd be very happy to lend you my school books.
Why don't you keep quiet for about 5 minutes?
Nobody was talking to you, Dave.
Look, cut it out, boys. We've got enough trouble with your mother so upset.
Upset? I'm not upset. I'm just a little frantic, that's all.
There's no reason in the world why you should be.
Well, it's easy to say.
In the first place, you won't be expected to compete with professionals when it comes to the technical discussions on education. If you just approach every problem with your usual good sense and judgment, you can't go wrong.
I hope you're right.
Oh, sure. Pop knows what he's talking about.
Well, your mother has a good head on her shoulders, and if she just uses it, she'll make the grade.
Do I have a good head on my shoulders too, Pop?
Yes, I'd say so.
I hope Mom makes better grades than I do.
That won't be hard.
Well, I don't know. I wish I felt as confident.
Don't be silly. You'll be the highlight of the conference. You're beautiful, you're intelligent, you're well poised, you're...
If you think I'm going to stop you, you're crazy.
Hiya, Thorny.
Oh, hello there, Oz.
What are you doing? Catching up on the latest news?
Well, just looking over a couple of magazines. That's what newsstands are for, you know.
Yeah, well, they also like to sell a couple occasionally.
Well, I'm trying to decide which ones to buy and which ones to read right here.
If you're looking for something to take home, you ought to try this one. Here.
Good, huh?
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
But I don't think Catherine would approve of my having this around the house.
Why, what do you mean?
Well, it might make her feel a little self-conscious.
Self-conscious?
Yeah, being married to a guy who reads Major Strong Bull and the Planet-Eating Space Monster. What kind of comic books do you read, anyway, Oz?
Well, I just thought it might be interesting for your boy, Will. Our boys thought it was great.
How are things going this morning?
Oh, that's right. You haven't heard the big news.
Well, that's not surprising. After all, I haven't seen you in quite a while. When was the last time, anyway?
I think it was when you dropped me off after bowling last night.
Honest, has it really been that long?
It seems to me.
Well, what is the big news? Or were you just trying to be funny?
Well, I suppose it is funny in a way. It's funny how women seem to have these little feminine frailties. The point is that Harriet has been chosen to be a representative to the big PTA conference this week.
Well, I think that's wonderful. I don't see any sign of frailty there.
You should have seen her this morning. Just the very thought of facing these people, and she practically fell apart. No confidence in herself. Well, I suppose they don't get the name weaker sex for nothing.
Hey, now, wait a minute, Oz. This may sound like heresy, but let's face the facts. According to people who know, women generally stand pain and cold better. They live longer. In fact, girl babies are supposed to be more rugged than boy babies.
Well, so what?
So, I just thought you ought to know before you made any speeches about women being the weaker sex. And I've seen several articles that say the same thing. And they all haven't been in the Reader's Digest, either.
In the first place, Thorny, you're talking about the physical side of it. What I mean is the emotional weakness. Women suffer from a lack of assurance, a lack of self-confidence. Did you ever take a look at some of those magazine articles? How to win a husband. How to keep him after you've got him. How to get him back again after you've lost him. All the same. All articles directed to the women trying to boost their self-confidence.
Well, okay, but what's this got to do with Harriet and the PTA?
Everything, Thorny. She got the news and went into a panic. Didn't know what to wear, didn't know if she'd look right, worried about how she'd get along.
Well, I don't see what she has to worry about.
That's just it. She has nothing to worry about at all. But try and tell her that.
Well, why don't you? And show her, too. Reinforce that feminine ego of hers.
Well, that's what I was trying to do this morning.
Well, then go back to that woman. Show her she can have confidence and assurance.
You know, Thorny, that's just what I think I'll do.
Good boy, Oz. Now, aren't you glad you talked to me?
Yes. I don't know what I would have done without you.
Anytime at all, Oz, anytime.
Well, I've got to run along.
If you have any other little problems, just address them to me in care of this magazine stand.
Thank you, and good night, Dr. Papineau.
Is that you, Mom?
No, it's your old dad.
Go on, Pa. You're not so old.
Well, I can't fool you, can I?
No, sir. But you can lend me a quarter if you try hard enough.
Yeah, but I could at that. What's that for?
I just thought I'd run down and have a soda.
Well, I think you better think again. We'll be eating dinner too soon. Besides, I want to talk to you fellas before your mother comes home.
You should have seen Mom when she left. She was really dressed to kill, boy.
She was only going to a PTA meeting. Who's she going to kill?
Well, I don't want to mention any names, but I have a couple of teachers in mind.
I just think we ought to help your mother a little now that she has this responsibility for a few days. She'll probably come home dead tired and discouraged and ready to give up the whole deal. So let's try to be very encouraging and very considerate.
I'll cook dinner if you want.
You're kidding, I hope.
No, I don't think that'll be necessary, but you can help out by setting the table.
What's going on here?
Oh, hello, dear.
Hi, Mom.
Sit down. You must be dead tired.
Oh, no, I feel fine. Besides, I've got dinner to get.
Well, why don't you rest a while and let the boys and I...
That's very thoughtful of you, but by the time I got through showing you how to do it, I could have dinner already.
Well, aren't you terribly tired? I mean, from the PTA and all?
Oh, no. It was a lot of fun. It's going to be very interesting, and Mr. McCary is such a nice man.
Well, who is he?
Well, he seems to be taking charge of everything. He's the superintendent of schools, I believe. He said I made some wonderful suggestions.
Oh, well, good for you.
Pardon me a minute, dear. I know you must be starved. I'll get dinner started.
No, wait a minute. Harriet, isn't there something I can do to help?
Yes, there is. You can stretch out on the couch and rest until dinner. You look tired. I'll have it ready in a jiffy.
Hey, how about one of you guys drying these things for me?
Go ahead, Ricky.
Who, me?
That's what I said.
Yeah, I suppose you got a broken arm or something.
I did my share. I fixed lunch.
Okay. I did my share, too. I ate it.
How old do you think Mr. McCary is, Pop?
Oh, I don't know, David. He must be an older man. You don't become superintendent of public schools overnight. I'd say he's probably in his early 60s.
Sure doesn't look that old to me.
Well, when did you see Mr. McCary?
There's a picture of him in today's paper.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Well, just a second. I'll get it for you.
Is that all the dishes, Pop?
Yeah, that does it. I guess we can relax for a while now.
Here it is, Pop.
You mean this is Mr. McCary?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Wallace McCary, superintendent of schools. I'd somehow pictured him a little different.
He's got a crew cut.
And look at that bow tie.
Certainly isn't a very dignified way for the superintendent of public schools to dress.
Mom says he's real swell to work with.
Well, you know your mother. She gets along with anybody. Looks pretty dull to me. Bow ties. Nobody wears those anymore.
Oh, sure. A lot of guys wear them, Pop.
Well, yes. Certain types can get away with it.
I think it looks good on him.
Well, it's not too bad, I guess. I think that crew cut's a little ridiculous for a man his age.
Looks pretty young to me.
Young? He's at least 30.
Well, isn't that young?
How old are you, Pop?
That isn't important. Some men are old at 30, and other men are still young at 30. Take this McCary person. He's probably a bookworm who doesn't bother to keep himself in good physical condition. Definitely isn't the athletic type.
Says here he was captain of his football team.
I imagine that was an honorary title.
Holy smokes, and a champion at the low hurdles.
Yes, low hurdles. Not as if it were high hurdles.
Can't even get all of his shoulders in the picture.
Well, I've got a couple of padded coats myself.
Mom said he's very nice.
Okay, oh, your mother thinks he's very nice. It's about time she stopped kidding around with that PTA junk anyway.
I thought you were proud of her, Pop.
Well, of course I'm proud of her. She's done a fine job, and now it's time to come home.
I think so, too.
Wonder how a young guy like this Wallace McCary gets to be superintendent of public schools in the first place. Probably has a lot of political connections.
Mom said he's very smart.
All right. Then why does this boy genius need a big committee to do all his work for him? Waste your mother's time over there while we're practically slaves here at home.
Are you sore at Mr. McCary, Pop?
I'm not sore at anybody, Ricky. Look, will you fellas kind of straighten up the rest of the house? I'm going out for a while.
Where are you going, Pop?
Oh, just down to the barbershop. Kind of clean up the sink, will you, fellas?
What do you want me to do with all these orange peels and coffee grounds?
Here. Wrap them up in this newspaper and throw them in the garbage can.
Hey, Aunt.
Oh, hello, Thorny.
I was just on my way over to your house. I wanted to shake the hand of a truly great man.
Who's that?
Well, you, of course. Oz, you're positively amazing. I never realized what a really brilliant neighbor we had.
What's this all about, Thorny?
Well, don't you remember that talk we had the other day? You know, about women and how they lack confidence in themselves?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I've been spending a lot of time the last couple of days building up Catherine's confidence. And the results have been marvelous. She's another woman, Oz. I almost feel like a bigamist.
I'm glad it's worked out for you.
Oh, Catherine's ready to tackle any job now. She's even talking about painting the house this summer.
She was talking about painting the house last summer, too.
Well, yes, but then she was talking about me painting the house.
Well, don't get too excited. You'll probably end up doing all the work.
Oh, never, Oz. I wouldn't want to destroy Catherine's confidence in herself. I guess you're pretty proud of Harriet, too, huh? Understand she's been doing a great job at the PTA conference.
Yeah, I guess she's doing all right.
Oh, now, don't be so modest, Oz. I hear she's even on a special committee with the superintendent of schools.
Yeah. Well, how about walking down to the barbershop with me?
Barbershop? Why are you going to the barbershop?
Well, a rumor's gotten around that some guys over there are cutting hair.
But, Oz, you had a haircut last week.
And I'm having another one this week. Is there anything wrong with that?
No, it's your head. Have it shaved clean if you want to. I just don't think you need a haircut.
Well, summer's coming, and it's kind of silly to have a big mop of hair when it's so hot.
Now, wait a minute. I was only kidding about having your head shaved.
No. I'm just going to have a little more taken off the top. Short haircuts are in style now, you know.
I've seen a lot of women with them. I think they're called poodles. But I've always thought of you as more the shaggy dog type.
No, I think I look pretty good with a crew cut.
A crew cut?
Well, not really a crew cut. I mean, kind of a modified version. What do you think?
I think it's ridiculous.
Well, naturally, you'd think so. You're always against anything that's new or different.
Now, wait a minute. You asked for my opinion, and I gave it to you. Of course, I'll admit that I'm no beauty expert. But then you're no beauty either.
I'm sorry I even mentioned this to you, Thorny. You can't discourage me, however. I think a crew cut's going to look very good on me.
Say, Oz, don't you think you better take along a sack for the hair they cut off? After you see yourself, you may want to put it back.
Hi, Mom.
Oh, boys. Will you take some of these packages for me?
You sure got a lot of groceries.
Well, I've invited Mr. McCary over for dinner tonight. He's very anxious to meet your father, and I know you boys will like him.
Oh, swell. I'd like to talk to him about longer summer vacations. Also, no homework.
I'm sure he'll be happy to hear any suggestions.
I can think of plenty, boy.
Was today the last meeting, Mom?
Yes, and thank goodness. It's going to feel wonderful just being a housewife again.
Well, I'm going to feel pretty good not being a housewife again.
Oh, Harriet, aren't you home kind of early?
Well, yes, there wasn't much to do at the last meeting.
Gee, look at Pop's hair.
I just saw it. What happened, dear? Did you fall asleep in the chair?
No, I had them cut it this way. Don't you like my hair a little shorter?
It looks just like a crew cut.
Well, a mild sort of a crew cut. What do you think of it, Harriet?
Oh, I imagine it's very comfortable.
Yes, it is. After all, the weather is getting warmer now, and I thought this might be a practical... pardon me.
You catching cold?
No, of course not.
Maybe you better put something on your head.
I've got a wool stocking cap you can wear.
My head feels fine. What's so unusual about a crew cut? A lot of men have them.
Oh, it's fine, dear. It makes you look very... And besides, it'll grow out in a couple of weeks.
You don't care for it, huh?
Well, I guess I'm just not used to it. Well, if you'll excuse me, I've got to get dinner ready. I invited Mr. McCary over tonight.
Oh?
Is that all right? He's very anxious to meet you.
Well, yes, I think I'm kind of anxious to meet him, too.
Oh, he'll be by in a little while, so you better start getting dressed.
Okay.
Hey, what's this, Pop?
Ricky, where'd you get that?
It fell out of your pocket.
Well, it's just something I happened to pick up at the men's shop.
Are you going to wear it?
Well, David, don't look at me like that. You said yourself a lot of men are wearing bow ties.
Ozzie?
Yeah?
Will you help me set the table?
Oh, sure. Do I look all right?
Yes, fine.
I wish you'd stop staring at my head.
I didn't realize I was staring. You just look so... well, so different.
I should think you'd be used to seeing a crew cut by now. I know this isn't as short as Mr. McCary wears his hair.
I should hope not.
You mean you don't like his crew cut either?
Crew cut? Well, I wouldn't exactly call his a crew cut.
Hey, Mom, somebody's coming up the walk.
Oh, it's probably Mr. McCary.
Hmm? No, this is an older man.
Older than Mr. McCary?
I'll get this, boys.
Mr. Nelson?
Yes?
I'm Wallace McCary.
Oh. Oh, yes. Won't you come in?
Thank you.
Oh, hello, Mr. McCary.
Hello, Mrs. Nelson.
I hope you didn't have any trouble finding the house.
Oh, not at all. I certainly appreciate this invitation.
Oh, I'm so glad you could make it. I see you've met my husband.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, please come in and sit down.
Thank you.
And these are our two boys, David and Ricky. This is Mr. McCary, boys.
Hello.
Hello. David, Ricky.
Would you excuse me? I'll have dinner ready in just a moment.
Oh, certainly.
Take your time, Harriet. Mr. McCary and I will sit here and chat a while.
We saw your picture in the paper.
Oh, did you see that? That was my college graduation picture.
Oh, I see.
Whenever they want a photograph of me for the paper, my wife gives them that one. It's her favorite picture, and I must say I rather like it myself.
Oh, yes, well, it is a good one.
Yeah, but it looks so much...
Why don't you boys... See if you can help your mother. She may have a little trouble finding things.
Okay, Pa.
Is that chair comfortable?
Oh, yeah.
Here, let me pour you a glass of sherry.
Oh, fine. Thanks. I've been very anxious to meet you, Mr. Nelson.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, indeed. I don't mean to embarrass you, but Mrs. Nelson is such a well-poised, well-organized, and adjusted person. I just knew she must have a very happy home life.
Oh, thanks. Yes, we certainly do.
Show me a happy, confident wife, and there's always a strong, capable, understanding husband giving her that feeling of security.
Oh, I never really thought of it that way.
Women are wonderful, and we really couldn't get along without them, but they do lack a man's drive and forcefulness.
Yes, I guess you're right at that. Well, I suppose nature really fashioned it that way. Woman is the frail and frivolous creature, unpredictable, emotional. Man is the steady, sturdy, solid influence.
Excuse me, Pop. Mom wants to know where your toolbox is.
My toolbox?
Yes, sir. I think she wants to fix something on the oven.
And she can't find the toolbox?
No, sir.
pardon me for laughing, David, but Mr. McCary and I were just discussing this very point. What would women do without their husbands?
Isn't it the truth?
David, tell your mother the toolbox is right where she left it last week after she fixed the lock on the back door.
Thanks, Pop.
Well, that sounds just like our house. Well, a toast, Brother Nelson. To our wives. As the fellow says, we can't live with them and we can't live without them.
This is Vern Smith saying, tune in again next week for another transcribed adventure of Ozzie and Harriet, starring Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.
Well, it appears we have time for one more song, so here's the Four Aces with "Those Wedding Bells Are Breaking Up That Old Gang of Mine."
Those wedding bells are breaking up that old gang of mine. Not a soul down on the corner, well, that's a pretty certain sign that wedding bells are breaking up that old gang of mine. All the boys are singing love songs, they forgot sweet Adeline. Those wedding bells are breaking up that old gang of mine.
There goes Jack, there goes Jim, down to Lover's Lane.
Boo-wop, boo-wop.
Now and then we meet again,
but they don't seem the same. Gee, I get a lonesome feeling when I hear the church bells chime. Those wedding bells are breaking up that old gang of mine. Not a soul down on the corner, that's a pretty certain sign that wedding bells are breaking up that old gang of mine. All the boys are singing love songs, they've forgot sweet Adeline. Those wedding bells are breaking up that old gang of mine. There goes Jack, there goes Jim, down to Lover's Lane. Now and then we meet again, but they don't seem the same. Gee, I get a lonesome feeling when I hear church bells chime. Those wedding bells are breaking up that old gang of mine. Those wedding bells are breaking up that old gang of mine.
Take me out to the ball game, take me out with the crowd.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
I don't care if we never get back.
Let me root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. So it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Nellie Kelly loved baseball games, knew the players, knew all their names. You could see her there every day, shout hooray when they'd play. Her boyfriend by the name of Joe said to Coney Isle, dear, let's go.
Then Nellie started to fret and pout, and to him I heard her shout.
Take me out to the ball game.
Oh, we'll have a lot of fun.
To the crowd,
we'll yell loud,
and then buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
I don't care if we never get back.
Let me root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame.
For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Ah,
you wouldn't like it.
Yeah, rag a shop with the crowd real loud.
That'll explain everything.
Buy me soda pop and peanuts and buy Cracker Jack.
A hat'll cost me.
I don't ever care if I never get back.
That's different. We'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, yeah!
Go, Joe, go!
Dan Daly and the Andrew Sisters with Take Me Out to the Ball Game. I'm Greg Van Beek. Thank you for listening and hope you'll join me again next week. Until then, so long for now.